Welcome back to the JX. I'm Mike Green. Racial inequities persist across sectors of our society. This is the unfortunate condition we all inherited from a 20th century of racialized segregation in laws, economic systems, public policies, and private sector practices. But when we turn to our healthcare system, the hope is that we can all receive the quality care we need regardless of race. A new report suggests otherwise. Patients with a prescription for medication to treat opioid disorder may have a tough time getting it if their pharmacy is in a community that's racially and economically segregated, according to a new study led by scientists at Oregon State University and Johns Hopkins. Joining me on the exchange is Dan Hartung, a scientist at OSU and co-author of the report. Welcome, Dan.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. Let's start with your role at OSU. I understand you also have a role at Oregon Health and Science University. What do you do?
Yes, I'm actually trained as a pharmacist, but I'm a professor at Oregon State University and have a collaborative appointment at Oregon Health and Science University in Portland.
Okay, so tell me about this study that you co-authored and what happened that led to a focus on racial inequity for this particular issue.
Right. So kind of, as you indicated, that there's real growing evidence that racial and economic disparities pervade every segment of our society, including the delivery of medical care. We did a study a couple years ago that was based on some anecdotes that we were hearing that some patients who are prescribed buprenorphine for opioid use disorder, which is a life-saving treatment for these patients, really reduces their risk from overdose by over half, were having difficulty accessing it at certain pharmacies. And so we did a study about 3 or 4 years ago, actually, that looked at kind of characterized these barriers to receiving buprenorphine in different community pharmacies. We called, using what's called a secret shopper methodology, where we called pharmacies around the country in counties that had higher than average overdose burdens to see if pharmacies would in fact dispense buprenorphine for patients who needed it. And we found about 20% of pharmacies that we called basically indicated that they wouldn't be able to fill a buprenorphine prescription for patients who needed it. That was kind of the first step in this project. And in the last year, we started working with, as you mentioned, some collaborators at Johns Hopkins, and who were interested in understanding if there were racial or economic factors related to the communities that these pharmacies were in that was associated with whether or not patients would have issues getting their prescriptions filled at these pharmacies. So that's kind of the setup to the study.
So what were you hearing from pharmacies about the challenges that they were facing and the decisions that they were making and how they decided to either prescribe or fill a prescription or not?
Yeah, so that's a great question. And we didn't directly assess that from pharmacies themselves, but there have been other studies in this area that have looked and talked to pharmacists around the country about this issue. And, you know, there's a couple of themes I think that emerge. One is that this drug, buprenorphine, it is a controlled substance, and it's governed by the Drug Enforcement Agency. And there are different laws and rules for monitoring the controlled substances, including buprenorphine. And so pharmacies have been concerned, especially pharmacies in Appalachia, about the increased surveillance by the Drug Enforcement Agency. So if they dispense too many controlled substances, there's concern that the DEA will essentially investigate their pharmacy, which is obviously a bad thing for them and their practice. And so there's concern of that. There's also just existing stigma and bias against people who use drugs by pharmacies and pharmacy staff that probably persists. And then probably a third factor is that, you know, pharmacies are, for the most part, businesses. And, you know, the economics of pharmacy is kind of a little bit strained right now. And so there may be some business reasons why they may choose, pharmacies and pharmacists may choose to opt out of dispensing this particular drug. Maybe they're losing money on prescriptions, these prescriptions that they're filling. It's not clear. But those are some reasons that have been noted in the literature and other research in this area.
I'm talking with Dan Hartung, the OSU scientist who co-authored a major study about racial inequities in access to opioid medications. The study was published in Drug and Alcohol and Dependence Reports. You can access the report at jeffexchange.org. So, Dan, now that the report is published, what kind of feedback are you getting?
Yeah, so I think, you know, unfortunately, our research really lines up with the other existing research that have been that has been published in the area about disparities in delivery of healthcare. So there's several large studies that have shown that basically non-white people, Black people, and other racial and ethnic minorities are less likely to be treated with medications for opioid use disorder, even though they're now increasingly more affected by this condition. And so if there are, you know, hurdles to getting care from the provider side, there now we note that there are indeed hurdles to getting care and even prescriptions filled on the pharmacy side. So it's really, it's an unfortunate additional data point we have, but it kind of lines up with the rest of the literature and suggesting that, you know, there are important racial and ethnic disparities out there that need to be addressed to make sure that, you know, these medications are provided to the people who most need them.
Well, there are a number of articles, books, and studies elevating awareness of racial inequities throughout the public healthcare industry. Is this a systemic problem that's growing, or are we just becoming more aware of conditions we inherited?
That's a good question. From my perspective, in our one study that, you know, ours is the first and only study that I'm aware of that has looked at this particular, in this particular lens at this issue, it's not clear to me if it's improving or getting worse. I think we're becoming more aware of it, and as more researchers kind of start to look at different angles, you know, we're uncovering more things. And so it's not clear at this point if it's a trend that's improving or decreasing with respect to at least the pharmacy access points.
So what universities collaborated on the study, and were any HBCUs, historically Black colleges and universities, or Hispanic serving universities considered to be included?
So this study was a collaborative effort by myself and other collaborators at Oregon State University. We had collaborators at Oregon Health Science University, some addiction medicine physicians, and then some researchers at Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore. No, we did not collaborate on this specific study with any investigators at historically Black universities.
So, Dan, going forward, what's the solution?
Yeah, so I think that there may be several points of intervention that could be directed at trying to improve this. So one would be first education. You know, in some other related work, we have gone out and developed educational interventions directed at pharmacies in Oregon and in Washington to try to improve how pharmacists engage patients with substance use disorders and avail themselves for services that those patients need, including prescribing and dispensing naloxone, which is the antidote for overdose, as well as being a source for non-prescription syringes for people who inject drugs, so we can reduce the risks of bloodborne infectious diseases. Other possible interventions that could be developed or policy policies that could be developed include perhaps some mandates about from the state perspective about mandating that these drugs be available in pharmacies and pharmacists being required to dispense them when a prescription arrives. So it's not a particular favorite by pharmacies and pharmacists, but it's been done for other types of prescriptions like emergency contraception and things of that nature.
Well, I've been talking with Dan Hartung, an OSU scientist who co-authored a new report, a new disturbing report, on racialized inequities in access to prescribed opioid medications. Thanks for helping us better understand this issue, Dan.
You're welcome. It was great talking to you.
I'm Mike Green. The JX will return shortly with Jeffrey Riley to talk about his upcoming retirement and plans for the future.